Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
We are wrapping up our series this morning, Better Together. And the title of this morning's message is Empowered Together. Empowered Together. How many are enjoying the snow? Springtime in the Rockies, I tell ya. I said to Pastor Josh this morning, are you sure you wanted to come back from California? You know, I'm glad he came back. I'm really glad he came back. Hey, I want to welcome some special people here today. Pastor Todd's mother and father are here, Ron and Ambra Pettibone. They're here for the ordination on Tuesday night. So good to have you guys with us. Bless you. So they drove all the way from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and so it's good to have them with us today. We also want to welcome all of our first-time guests. If you're with us today for the very first time, we are so glad that you're here. We want you to know that you're welcome, and it's just a joy to have you with us. Also, you know, maybe you are here, and you're brand new, or maybe you haven't been in church in a long time, and you're kind of feeling a little uncomfortable because you think, man, everyone here is so good. You know what? Don't worry about it. The people in this building have out-sinned you 10 to 1, okay? Don't let all these pretty faces fool you, okay? You're in a good place, all right? We're so glad you're here, and we're wrapping up our series, Better Together. And we're talking about Empowered Together today. We're going to wrap things up with Empowered Together. And if you'd pull out your message notes from your bulletin today, and those who attend our life groups on the inside is your homework, make sure you take that, fill that out, and bring that to group this week. But the first sentence there says, why were the early Christ followers so powerful? Why was the early church so powerful? And the reason they were, if you're taking notes this morning, is because they lived in partnership together with the Holy Spirit. They lived in partnership together with the Holy Spirit. We just sang the song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And that was really almost their rallying cry in the book of Acts. They welcomed the Holy Spirit. They welcomed the presence of God in their lives. They saw Jesus, who was the baptizer in the Spirit. And they, as a result, they made a powerful impact upon their community and into the entire world. And really, it's because of them that we're here today. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Notice what you receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not, whoa, that felt good. Not joy, not excitement, but you receive power. Power for what? Power to be witnesses. To me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The early church lived out a connection, a partnership with the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they had this power that changed the world. And friends, that power is available to you and I today. We can change our community. We can change our schools. You can change, through the power of God, the place where you work. You can change your neighborhood. We can make a difference through the power of God. Now the question is, how do we partner with the Holy Spirit? How do we get this supernatural power in our lives? You know, a few weeks ago, our internet was really slow, and it just hasn't been a few weeks ago. It's been a long time. And whenever we would try to log on to a website, you know, we would wait, and we would wait. The little circle there is spinning and spinning and spinning, and it's like, will this ever get better? There is times when we would watch a show on Netflix or something, and, you know, it would pause and would have to reload, and it would pause and have to reload. I mean, you're supposed to save time on Netflix losing the commercials. It took us longer because, you know, it was so frustrating. Our internet was so slow. So we checked out some different providers and finally found someone that was reasonable. And we invited them to come in, and now we have great internet. And as I was getting ready for this message, preparing for this series a few weeks back, I felt God say to me, Craig, the reason the church lacks power is the same reason you had bad internet. And I was like, what? And it was like, and God gave me four things. I'm going to share four things with you today, how you and I can have more power in our life, all right? Are you ready to go? Okay, let's do it this morning. Number one, if you're taking notes this morning, the first step to a powerful partnership with the Holy Spirit is believe in the bigness of God. It is to believe in the bigness of God. And this answers the question, how big is our source? How big is our source? One of the problems with the internet that we had is that our source was not very big. I did one of those tests, I think it was like speedtest.net or something like that. And you know what my speed was on my internet? 0.74. It wasn't even 1 megabit. I mean, it was bad. I saw that, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, no wonder it's so bad. Well, I did a speed test when we got this new internet, first time out of the box, 10. I mean, we multiplied exponentially here. You know, and it was like, it is so great. But the reason we have better internet now is because we have a bigger source. And the thing is, how big is your source? How big is your God? How big do you see God? The early church, God was huge. They had just experienced Jesus dying and raising from the dead 3 days later. And did you also know that not only did Jesus raise from the dead, but it says when Jesus rose from the dead, many others were risen from the dead and they walked into the city? I mean, some people had family members come back, fathers, mothers, children, parents. They're back alive. They experienced the power of God. They knew that with God, nothing was impossible. They knew their God was limitless. And because they had this belief that God was big and could do anything, they shook the world. And sometimes we lose sight of how big God is to us. We lose sight of how big Jesus is to us. And let me ask you this morning, how big is your God? Is he 1 megabit per second? Or is he 1 trillion megabits? Now you say, hey, Craig, that speed of internet doesn't exist. I know that, but you know something? 1 trillion doesn't even come close to how powerful God is. God has no limits. He is all powerful. Say it with me, all powerful. God can do anything. And as a church, we need to approach everyday life, approach the problems we have, approach the people we face as God can do anything. Do you have some real stinkers at work? Some people you just can't stand. Some people you say, there is no way God could impact them. Well, you know what? In the book of Acts that we've been studying, God impacted a guy that was going around imprisoning and killing Christians. His name was Saul. And Saul got saved. All you have to do is look at the book of Acts and realize God can take one of the hardest, most wicked people, one of the most antagonists against Jesus Christ, and he can turn him around and make him a flaming evangelist and a missionary that touches the world. There is nothing that is impossible with God. You can do miracles. We've given you in your notes, there are some bullet points there about how powerful Jesus is. He heals the sick, and we give you a lot of references. I want you to take these this week, look them up. They'll build your faith just to see how powerful the church was through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, we touched on that a few weeks ago as Peter and John walked into the temple and they healed the crippled man. You've got Acts 9, 33 to 34, Acts 10, 38, Acts 14, 8 through 9, and 28, 3 through 9. You say, Craig, why are you saying that? Because the people on our podcast can't see the notes, but they can hear it, and I want them to have the references. The next one there, Jesus raises people from the dead. We saw a few weeks ago how Peter raised Tabitha from the dead. That's in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 41. There's another example in Acts chapter 20, verses 9 through 10. And then he also casts out demons, Acts 5:16, 8, 7, and 19, 11 to 12. And friends, let me tell you, Jesus Christ, Hebrews says, the author of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that cast out demons, that healed the sick, that raised the dead, he can do it today and he can do it tomorrow. God can do miracles. Do you realize the Holy Spirit wants to partner with you? He wants to partner with you. When I get up in the morning, I try to say every day, Holy Spirit, you're my senior partner. The senior partner means he's in charge. It's not we're co-equal and I call the shots. No, you're my senior partner. You tell me what to do and I will work with you. You see, it's not just him. It's not just me. It's both of us together. And God wants you to pray for the sick and see them healed. Right there at work, they're dealing with a bad cold, and boom, I mean, God's used me in that way before, and I tell you, the results are incredible. But you never know when it is. You have to be available. You have to believe that God can use you. You have to believe, and here's the thing, what if they're not healed? What if nothing happens? You know what? That's his problem and not mine. If nothing happens, I need to be obedient regardless. Regardless of the results. If you never take a step of faith, God can't meet you and he can't do a miracle. Do you realize every miracle has been the result of a problem? And the bigger the miracle, the bigger the problem. So you're going to face a problem that requires faith for you to step into that situation and minister. And if you believe that it's not you, but it's the all-powerful God that created the heavens and the earth, wow, that's when you start to have a powerful partnership with the Holy Spirit. Believe in the bigness of your God. Okay, take a look at number two. The second step to having a powerful partnership with the Holy Spirit is to have commitment to the cause. You and I need commitment to the cause. This answers the question, are we aimed in the right direction? Are we aimed in the right direction? When we wanted to get this new internet into our home, they had to come out and mount like a satellite dish in the side of the house. And once it was mounted, then they had to direct the dish, and they would align it, and they would move it a little bit, move it a few more degrees, move it a few more, oh, got to move it back. They were looking for that perfect alignment to get the strongest signal possible. And when that dish was in perfect alignment with the source, then we had power. Then we had a strong signal. And friends, that's the same thing for us. Our lives need to be aimed at the right angle, at the right direction with Jesus Christ and his cause. It needs to be aimed at his mission. What is the aim of your life? Is your aim to make money? I want to make as much money as I can so I can retire by the time I'm age 30. I'm about 18 years past that. It didn't work for me, okay? You know, what's your aim? My aim is to climb the corporate ladder, the career ladder. My aim is to have a comfortable life. I know some people, their aim is just to live for the weekend. Let me get through this week. Some people just live for the paycheck. Help me here. Friends, our aim needs to be bigger than the things of this world. Our aim needs to be that I am connected to God and I connect others to God. This was the attitude of the early church. Take a look, Acts chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, and I'm going to read this from the Message, okay? Write the Message down here, and you can look that up, the Message translation, on BibleGateway.com. It has several translations of the Bible, but this is what it says. It says, they, meaning the 120, that Jesus had just talked to about wait to receive power, they went to the upper room they had been using as a meeting place. And then it lists all the 11 disciples, the 11 who remain: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And look at verse 14. They agreed they were in this for good. They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer. That was their attitude. And you have to realize, it's not like this is a very positive time. Their leader had just been crucified 40 days before. They were suffering persecution. They were going through suffering. It was a dangerous time. They could lose their life, but they said, we're not going to let that obstacle stop us. We're not going to let anything get in our way. We are in this for good. We're all in. I'm not going to ask how many poker players are on here, but you ever see poker? When you've got a good hand, you go all in because you want to win it all. Friends, when you're a born-again Christian, when you have Jesus on your side and the power of the Holy Spirit, how many know you don't get a better hand than that? We need to live life all in. That's our aim. That's our focus. Am I committed to the cause? Let me ask you this. Is your life aimed at being a witness for Jesus? When you go to work, do you think, God, who can I touch today? When you go to school, when you're in the locker room, when you're in the hallway, are you thinking, God, who can I minister to? Help me to be sensitive. We are His witnesses. If we don't witness, no one else will. We must be first. Here's the thing. I need to be connected with Jesus and have purity and devotion because I reproduce what I am. If I am not living connected to God, there's no way I can connect others to God. We're to be a witness of what we've experienced. If we haven't experienced much of Jesus working in our life, we're not going to be able to witness much. I need a great connection with God myself. You see, this just isn't a message about us going and doing, because we're not human doings, we're human beings. And God wants us to be in relationship, be connected to Him, and have passion and purity and zeal for Him. And as God's impacting my life, now is just an overflow of what He's done in my life to other people. And I'm that witness. Is that your goal? God, help me today. Help me to connect people to You. God, help me to share what You've done. God, help me to share Your love, to share Your grace. Are you praying for people to become saved? Are you inviting people to church? Or are you just so busy with your own life that you really don't think about the lost? My neighbor is moving to Phoenix, Arizona. I've been trying to witness for him for the past 7 years. We've invited him over for Thanksgiving dinner. He's a single guy, retired, divorced, and he's moving. And I've been praying for him, saying, God, give me a chance all week. And when he's out inside, I haven't been outside. I mean, it just hasn't connected. And yesterday, and I got a book for him, one of those books that we give in our guest packet, How Good Is Good Enough, that testifies that, about salvation. And I said, I was having my devotions, and all of a sudden, I came to a place that says, which person does God want you to go to? And immediately God said, go to Dennis now. So I got up, I got dressed, and as I was getting dressed, there was a knock at my door. It was Dennis. And he says, hey, I've got a few things left, and they didn't make the truck. The moving truck had already left, and there's some chemicals that I don't want to take with them. They wouldn't let me put them on the truck, you know, weed killer, bug killer, that kind of thing. Do you want them? I says, yeah, sure. He says, I got some food that I can't. It's frozen food. It's not going to last. You know, could you use it? I says, yeah, we could use it. And so I got the book. I got everything ready, and I'd written something in the book for him already. And ended up going to his house, and I was just with him for the next 2 hours, and we talked and did different things, and I gave him the book, And there was a chance I got to pray for him. When I got done praying, he was teared up. There were some things that had happened this past week that were really bad. And I have my phone number in the book, and I'm just praying, God, I've been sharing with him, witnessing to him for the past 7 years. Work in his life. God, his TV's gone. It's packed up. These next 2 days before he leaves on Monday, I pray that he'll be so bored that he picks that book up and he starts to read the book. God, just work in his life. Let him move into other Christians. I'm praying for Dennis. I'm sad I'm not going to have many more opportunities for him. God wants you and I to have a burden for the lost, because if we don't tell them, they're lost. They spend eternity in hell. You know, we've had a great time this morning, great worship. So appreciate our worship team. But you know what? You and I could have worshiped way better in heaven in the throne this morning than here, right? Now, I know the message is really good, okay? But I would rather be at Jesus is a way better teacher than me. I'd rather be up in heaven sitting at his feet having him teach me than you guys having to listen to me this morning. And you know what? I love getting together with you, but we can fellowship a whole lot better up in heaven when my sin nature is gone and your sin nature is gone. We can worship better. We can learn better. We can fellowship to better. All of that stuff up in heaven, better in heaven. There's only one thing we can do better here on earth, and that is witness to lost people. Because in heaven, there are no lost people. By the time it's heaven, it's already made the decision. Friends, that's why this church, that's why the church is still on the planet. You and I are here to be committed to the cause and make a difference in people's lives. I can't tell you how many churches have split, they're fragmented, because someone wanted orange carpet and someone wanted purple. How many churches are stymied because I want faster music, I want the modern stuff, I want the slower stuff, I want the hymns. Or they say, you know, we need more of this kind of program and less of this. And someone says, no, we don't, we need more of this. And we're fighting over what we prefer instead of focusing on his priority. What do we need to do to win this world? That's why we're here, friends. Are we committed to the cause? Are you and I, are our lives aimed in the right direction? Are they aimed in the right direction? All right, let's move on. Step number three, the third step to having a powerful partnership. Number three is reliance on the Holy Spirit through prayer. Reliance on the Holy Spirit through prayer. And this answers the question, are we staying close to the source? Are we staying close? You know, our internet in the house, it has a certain range. And if you go too far, then the signal gets weak and you don't have a connection anymore. And friends, we need to stay close to our source, Jesus Christ, if we're going to have power and a powerful partnership with the Holy Spirit. And that takes place through prayer. In the early church, they were connected to God through prayer. They prayed a lot, both as individuals and corporately as a body. Take a look at the screen this morning. We're just going to give you a lot of different references. You can write these down if you want. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and then proceeding to chapter 2, verse 1, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. There was 120 there with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. And they prayed for 10 days, and when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. You see, they received the Holy Spirit's outpouring because they were praying and seeking God. We see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, after God brings 3,000 people in, what was the practice of the church? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They were praying. Acts chapter 4, verse 24 and 31. It says, when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. It was corporate prayer. And they said, Lord, you are he who made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. What are they doing? They're focusing on the bigness of their God.
He who made it all. You're big. You can do anything.
And they're reminding themselves of that in prayer. And it goes on to say, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. The word of God speaking boldly was tied in to much prayer. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 and 12. Peter was kept in prison, but constant, say constant with me, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And in verse 12, Peter's released from prison, and it says he came to the place where many were gathered together praying. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." He didn't say a house of teaching. He didn't say a house of worship. He didn't even say a house of evangelism. He said it's a house of prayer. He intended for his people to get together and pray. That's why we have our 12-12 corporate prayer meeting every Wednesday, except this Wednesday, every Wednesday from 12-12 to 1-12. We're praying for our communities, praying for our church. We pray for your loved ones. We pray for healings. We pray for miracles because God answers prayer. And we've seen people healed and saved and delivered and helped through our prayer. We've been lifting them up. That's why we pray in our life groups. Prayer is a main component because as we pray together, there is strength in numbers. One chases 1,000, but two chase 10,000. We need to be praying corporately, and then we need to be praying individually. If we don't pray, God doesn't move. It's linked to God's power. If we don't pray, we don't get God's power. Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm doing a home project, okay? That's a dangerous thing, all right? I am not that handy. You know, as Red Green says, if they can't find you handsome, at least let them find you handy. I had to try to work on the handsome part because the handy just wasn't there, all right? Now, let's say I'm working on a project. I'm trying to fix something. And I decide I'm going to stop my activity, I'm going to stop my work, and I'm going to call some people. I'm calling Jim Davis and Jimmy Stewart and Jim Morgan and Perry Hansen and Michael Tyler, and I'm going to ask those guys to come over to my house and to do the work. Now, when I stop working and I make the calls, then they come and they do the work. But as long as I keep working, I can't make the call, they can't work. And that's what happens in prayer. You see, so many times we do our own thing, but when we say, I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray, now we have just called on our Heavenly Father, the all-powerful one, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he comes and he begins to work. When we work, but when we pray, God works. Write this in your notes. It's not in your notes. The more we pray, the more God works. So if you want God to work a lot in your life, then pray. Oswald Chambers, and the quote is there up on the notes, he said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves a muscle of God's omnipotence. And you can go online and see some of these big bodybuilders, these Mr. Universe types. And, you know, they're just pumped up. They're big and strong. But if you would cut the nerve to those muscles, they couldn't do anything. Even though that muscle is there, it's paralyzed. And friends, God's muscle of omnipotence is waiting to move on our behalf. And prayer is that nerve that triggers it. We pray and God says, whoa, yeah, I'm ready to work. Prayer is vitally important. There are some of us, God is challenging us to step up our prayer life. He's challenging us to go deeper with him in seeking his face, both corporately and personally. Okay, let's review. Let's review what we've learned. The first step to needing a powerful partnership with the Holy Spirit is what? Okay, I can't hear you. Believe in the bigness of God, okay? What's the second step? Commitment to the cause. Our life is aimed after the mission of Jesus. Step number three is reliance on the Holy Spirit through prayer. That's right. Okay, number four, the fourth step to having a powerful partnership with the Holy Spirit is ask. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit. This answers the question, how can we receive if we don't ask? For us to get this faster internet in our home, we had to ask the company to come out and install it. It wasn't enough to know about it. It wasn't enough to believe that they had better internet. We needed to call them and ask them to come. And friends, that is the key for us. We need to ask. You see, in John chapter 20, write this down, John chapter 20, verse 22, it's the very first night of Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus, he said to them, this is his disciples, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the moment when the disciples were saved, okay? This is when the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of them. But then later on, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus tells them, you need the Holy Spirit again. There is a second experience of the Holy Spirit that you and I need. It says, being assembled together, life is better together, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, but you shall receive power when the Spirit has come upon you. And so they went and they prayed, they waited, and they received the power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is an experience God wants every Christian to have. Hear me. You don't need to be baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues to get to heaven, okay? It doesn't get you to heaven, all right? But it will give you more power. I know some people say, well, I just don't understand how that works. I'm not into this tongue stuff. I don't get how that works. How many of you understand completely how your car works? There's a few of you who do. Does anyone understand completely how your computer works? Yeah, I turn it on and it works. How many understand how your smartphone works or your refrigerator or your microwave? Do you realize there are several things we use in our everyday life that we don't understand how they work? We just know they work, and so we make them a major part of our life. And friends, you don't have to understand everything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand everything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I know Jesus said, wait for it. He said, it's your American Express card. Don't leave home without it. You're to be my witnesses all over the world, but don't leave Jerusalem till you get the power. Don't leave Jerusalem to get the Holy Spirit. And friends, we need to be a church that is asking God every day, give me the Holy Spirit. And if you have it, to keep asking for it, because that's what the disciples did. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, as they prayed again. We need to ask. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus taught this. He taught this very thing to ask for the Holy Spirit. He said, I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son, listen to this, asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? Jesus says, ask for the Holy Spirit because we need the power to accomplish this mission that he has his church on the planet, his body. We're his body to finish the work that he started. There are some of you here this morning, you don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit because you don't ask for it. Some of you say, Craig, I've asked for it before. I just haven't received it. It's not for me. Let me ask you this. How many of you have prayed to be healed for something, the same thing, more than once? Many of you have. How many have prayed for a loved one who is having a problem in their life, and you prayed for them more than once? Many of you here, how many have prayed for maybe a job or financial need that you've had more than once? Several of you here. So if you've prayed for all of those things more than once and you didn't receive it but you kept on praying, then why not keep asking God for the Holy Spirit even though you haven't received that yet? You see, when you quit asking, you have no chance of receiving. We need to keep asking. In fact, read this portion in Luke chapter 11, because Jesus teaches on prayer. And part of it, just before he talks about asking for the Holy Spirit, he talks about the story of the persistent widow who kept knocking on the judge's door, who kept asking, who kept seeking. And she was persistent. And because she was persistent, she received. There are some of you, you've given up. You've grown up in the church. You know this. You know the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you've never received it. And you've just said, I guess it's not for me. God wants you to know, keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking, because you need it. It'll change your life. It'll change your ministry. It'll change your witness. Don't give up on God. He's all powerful. Some of you, you haven't received because you're afraid. You think it's a scorpion, or it's a stone, or it's a snake, a poisonous snake, and it's not good for you. You were taught that it was of the devil growing up. When I was pastoring in Iowa, my secretary, she grew up in a home. Her dad was a pastor, and he preached against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said it was of the devil, and she struggled for years. She knew it was true, but she had a hard time getting past it. She finally had to say, she had to acknowledge her fear and say, God, I know I'm afraid of it. You've got to take this fear away from me. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is not... He's not a dictator. He's not pushy. He's a gentleman. He's not going to push something on you that you're not comfortable with. You say, I don't get this speaking in tongue things. Here, you want to know what tongues is? Tongues is when the Holy Spirit who lives in you as a Christian speaks through your tongue and he prays to the Father for you. You're not praying. You're not talking, but he is. And there's sometimes I worship in tongues. There's sometimes I'm interceding for someone in tongues. There's sometimes I'm just praying in tongues for different needs. I don't know what I'm saying, but the Holy Spirit does, and he knows everything, and it makes a difference. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. It's not in your notes. It's not in the screen. Write this down, okay? Jude 1, 19 to 21, it talks about when you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up. It edifies you. How many would like to get a workout in just by praying? Wouldn't that be nice? I got up this morning early and worked out before church. And I wish I could have just prayed. I mean, I prayed after that, but while I was cooling down, I wish I could have just prayed and it would have worked out for me. Hey, when you pray in the Spirit, you're getting a workout. It's building you up. It's strengthening you. Friends, God wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit to give us power to be witnesses. Because that's the reason we're here on the planet. And as you and I are empowered together, like the early church, we're going to shake Casper. We're going to shake Wyoming. We're going to shake the world.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.